Right now, it is time to bring in Dr. Judy Werpman. It's time for Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, and also Simon Loses His Tummy. Good morning there, Dr. Werpman.
Good morning. Good morning to both of you, and Happy New Year again. This should be a good one for the entire year, not just for the first week.
Let us hope.
Yes. Anyway, as you know, Jill, I sent you something about when is it the best time to diet, because anybody who watches even a tiny bit of television or sees newspaper ads or magazine ads knows that this is the time when you're bombarded with advertisements promising you that this will indeed be the very last diet you'll ever have to go on, that you will lose your weight permanently, you won't have to eat less, exercise more, deprive yourself of anything but, you know, following their magic food formula or whatever, you will lose your weight. And, of course, the fact that these advertisements come up every year and probably are responded to by the same people indicates that maybe they don't work that well. But be that as it may, why is it that everyone assumes that this first week in January is the best time to follow the diet? And it sounds like I'm going to divert for a minute, but I think it's worthy to consider a January weather forecast that I just heard yesterday, in which the weatherman got up and said, well, you know, the average temperature in January in Boston is going to be, you know, 34 degrees, and the average precipitation, and he talked about snowfall and rain, and the sunset, you know, the sun rises around, is not quite 7 o'clock, and maybe, you know, the sun will eventually get set as late as maybe 5 o'clock by the end of January. And I'm thinking about this and thinking the impact that this weather has on our ability to exercise, ability to, you know, be in a good mood. And then I thought, why, for goodness sakes, is this the best time to diet? Because if you live in the northern part of the country, you are dealing with predictable, despite maybe climate change, predictable snow, rain, sleet, freezing rain, wind, you know, all sorts of unpleasant weather conditions. You cannot, regardless of what we do about the climate or not, alter the fact that the sun continues to rise. It's set according to astronomical rules, not, you know, EPA rules.
Yeah, plus it's you know, you're absolutely right. And, you know, the first of January is so arbitrary. You know, the first of the year used to be March 21st or March 20th, spring. You know, that's when it all began.
Right.
Which is much easier to start. I'm not recommending. I'm just saying, to the point of whoever thinks that January 1st in the heart in the Northeast, in this hemisphere of winter, is motivational. It's like, yeah, I'm going to lose that weight, is, you know, smoking something.
That's right. But on the other hand, and this is what I realized when I was thinking about the article, if you live in the southern part of the country, it may be the best time. I don't mean necessarily January 1st, but for people who live in parts of the country where the summer tends to be so hot and humid that you don't want to be outside, and you really don't feel like, you know, spending any time cooking, and you just have this feeling of just being overcome by lethargy because the weather is just so difficult to contend with, maybe the winter is the best time because, you know, if you live in the southern part of the country, the days are longer. You know, the sunrise may rise slightly later, but it certainly sets later, maybe by an hour and a half or so. So that means that you do have enough time in the late afternoon, early evening to do something outside. You do have fresh vegetables and fruit, not the way we in the Northeast get them from Mexico or Chile or what have you, so they've traveled halfway around the world before we get them. But, you know, there are crops that are being harvested, and you can get, you know, relatively speaking, you know, good-tasting fresh fruits and vegetables compared to our problems in the Northeast. And it's a time when, you know, taking a long walk or even getting yourself to the gym or going for a bike ride or going for a walk with your dog, things that you have to do when you're on a diet, are certainly more permissible. And you know, people just feel good in the winter. I in Florida, when the newscaster gets on and says, oh, we finally get some winter weather here, people applaud because it means that they can finally stop sweating. So, you know, I think that we should have diets that are seasonal. You know, there is the South Beach diet. Fine. People in South Beach, which is part of Miami Beach, they should go on the diet if they want to follow the South Beach diet. Now, if you want to follow the South Beach diet in January, weight and do something like the Boynton Beach diet or something. You know, go on the Brighton Beach diet, or go on a diet that is more compatible with the weather. And the other thing is your mood. You know, we tend to just have a gloomy mood this time of year. No matter how good your mood normally is, it has to be affected by the fact that it's dark and cold, but particularly dark. Whereas, again, in the South, your mood is much, much better. And I don't understand why national companies don't understand this. You don't find bathing suits being sold in a northern department store, but you don't find winter coats, you know, heavy, and boots being sold in a southern department store, or certainly very few of them. So why can't diets, especially the advertisement, or even the kind of diet, be timed to and become relevant to the place where you live? I mean, it seems like it's a concept that's awfully long in coming.
And it seems like a really smart idea. I think that it's one of those things where bring a little common sense to the table, or even if you do live in the Northeast, and you, or in the, let's just say, top
tier, yeah,
yeah, the top half of the country, closer to Canada,
yeah, exactly,
than Mexico.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle is no better than where you are.
No,
exactly. But Jill, I want to bring up something that you always are talking about. If one thought about a diet as simply a prelude to the rest of the way you're going to live, then every January 1st, you wouldn't have to start all over again, correct?
Yeah. And the thing is, it's more of the French word, of course, for diet is régime. You know, it's more of a lifestyle that just a random diet doesn't seem. Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem as though it's going to last. Marshall is probably the better person to on that, but you kind of have to change your approach, no?
Well, here's the problem. Not only are what you're talking about, Judy, but I don't know if you've seen it lately on TV or online, these new diets, like the Noom diet, it's called.
Oh, yes.
And they show people, here's what really gets me. Certain diets will work for certain people. There's no doubt about it. For whatever, you could do the grapefruit diet, whatever it is. You'll lose weight if you only eat grapefruits, or you'll die from other things. But this Noom diet, they show people stuffing their faces, saying that, you know, you never have to diet again by going on the Noom plan. Well, that's BS. It's like the Shark Tank diet. I don't know if you've seen that, where the guy appeared on Shark Tank with a certain diet supplement that the sharks all got behind. Okay, but as a supplement,
really?
Supplement. It wasn't a cure-all. Well, now everybody else has taken off on that, and and the video that they post with the stuff, these companies, it's unbelievable. There should be a truth in dieting law.
Well, one of the problems, Marshall, is that if you sell us, there's no oversight for supplements. You can sell, you know, a twig that says it's going to grow hair on your head and, you know, take pounds off your hips, and nobody can stop you. Look at the advertisement for Prevagen, which is being investigated by all sorts of agencies. But they, you know, for, you know, jellyfish or I don't know, something that is going to make your memory better. And the point is that they publish articles in their own journals that they publish, claiming certain results. And that's why you can't get any truth in this, because, you know, they will show you graphs and bar charts and say, oh, for weight loss, this is really what happened. I have a friend who years and years and years, almost 30 years ago, worked for SlimFast. And he said, when we had people that we wanted to put on the television to show how much weight they lost, we practically locked them in a solitary confinement for a month so they would lose their weight, and then we put them on television.
Of course. And unfortunately, you know, half of those, let's just go to pharmaceuticals for a second, only country in the, half of those, I would say not half, 90% of the ads that you see, you know, are for things that are so costly the average person can't afford it, and
and
therefore truly end of life. And the whole point of advertising them, frankly, is so that people go to their doctors and ask for them. It's just wrong. And the same thing with these diets. There's no truth in it, but we've got brains that are now designed to, like, oh, that'll work.
If it seems magical, if it seems fun, you can talk about it at a cocktail party.
And you don't have to work at it. That's the bummer. Anyway.
That's right. Well, you know, I suspect that just as the diets will continue, our conversation about this is not going to end too soon. but we're trying. Anyway,
yes.
have a happy, stress-free week anyway.
And do your best with whatever you can. All right.
Right.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy here on Robin Hood Radio and also robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.